Hello, this is Adam. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can barely hear you. Hi there, thank you for calling.
Of course. So tell me what's going on?
Well, what do you know already? I mean, without going into a dissertation, do you have my petition or the letter from Adam Silver that I wrote him, or?
Let me look back. I didn't see a petition, and I'm really not sure. I actually don't know too much about what you're asking for.
Okay.
So I think it'd be best for you to give me as much information as possible.
Okay. So, I was fined about $930,000 for allegedly not having a construction license. And this was done under Business and Professions Code 7031A and 7031B. So basically, the majority of the fine came from 7031B, and it basically reads that if a person utilizes the services of an unlicensed contractor, they can bring an action in court to recover all compensation paid. So let me give an example of this. Like, let's say that you hire me to build your home, and you say, Adam, I want you to build me a $5 million mansion on the coast in Newport Beach. And so I build you the mansion, and at the end of it, you say, oh, wonderful, beautiful job. But I found out you aren't licensed, so I'm suing you, and I want my $5 million back, and I get to keep the house. And so we go to court. I don't have a license. You get the $5 million from your house, and I have to pay you $5 million more. That's the law.
And so are you an unlicensed contractor then?
Well, that depends how you put it. Here's another problem with the statute. So I went and took the licensing exam and all of that and became a qualifying individual for my company's contractor's license. My company was named Spartan Construction, or the Spartan Associates is who the license was under. So when my company did work for these people and we had a disagreement, they went to court and said, we never contracted with this company, we contracted with him. And because he's unlicensed, he has to pay us all the money back. Well, of the $848,000 that they paid, $758,000 was paid to my company. But the court made me return that money that was paid to my company anyway. So here's my contention with this part of it, in addition to the fine aspect that I told you about earlier, is that if a person goes and is a qualifying individual for their license. I mean, they say that the intent of the licensing laws are to protect the public from incompetent and dishonest contractors. So if you go through the test, you pass the licensing exam, you provide the work experience, and all of a sudden, the license is under your company name, now you're not licensed. Do you get what I'm saying?
Not really.
Let me put it a different way. Yes, that you have it right. Let's take an attorney, for example. Attorney takes the bar exam and he goes and works for Company A. Company A gets sued. The attorney has a license. But now let's say he goes to Company B. He's still licensed. That's not the way it works in construction. The way that the law is written is that even if you take the licensing exam, if the license isn't in your name, you're unlicensed. So
why wouldn't it be in your name if you could sit down?
Because that's the way that they do it. So like, I had a company called Spartan Construction. So I took the licensing exam because obviously a corporation can't take a licensing exam. And so the application was made in my company's name, Spartan. And Spartan is the one that got the license, even though I was the one that took the test and had the qualifying experience.
Okay.
This is unlike this in any other licensing scheme in California. So
you took the application in your company's name, and then your client is suing the company, but the company is saying you weren't with them, even though it was your company?
No. Let me reiterate. So I'm alleging that my company is the one that contracted with them and did the work. And they're disgruntled and they said, no, we didn't contract with your company, we contracted with you. And so we already went to court and the court found that they contracted with me individually, not my company. And because they said I was unlicensed, I got fined $930,000. Mm-hmm. Now,
now you're appealing
now. No, I've been through the appeal. This is the law. This, what I'm telling you is California law. This is the public policy. So, let's say that the example with you that I did earlier with the $5 million house. It doesn't matter how much the contract amount is. It doesn't matter what kind of work was done. If the contract was $20 million, the penalty would be $20 million. The judicial council actually went after a company that was maintaining its court buildings because their license lapsed, and they went after them for $27 million for a simple $300 licensing fee. This is California's public policy, and no, it's been challenged many times. I think it's been put into the Supreme Court of California over three or four different times since this part of it was enacted in 2001. Mm-hmm. And yes, I have it all. I submitted it all to you with the petition for redress of grievance that I filed back in January. So does Jess Wang still work for you?
Yes.
Okay. So Jess and I, back in January, I called Jess. We spoke on the phone and she said, send me an email with all this information. So I did. And she replied to my email saying that she had received it and to reach out to her again in a week to see what the status was. Well, I did that and she's never responded. I've made phone calls, I've sent multiple emails, I've got no response. So then what I started doing was sending letters to Cotty's office in the district office in Sacramento. I sent another copy of the complaint and I sent follow-up complaints to her. I've never received a response.
Okay, well that's why I'm calling you, because I found out about that.
Right. So I'm aware of another man. He got fined I'm sorry?
I'm just saying, usually I'm not the person, but I just wanted to make sure and speak with that, that I got back to you, because when I found out that you hadn't been responded to, I thought it was very serious and I should get in touch with you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. So what the there's a couple of issues. One, I've exhausted all of my remedies in California court. Like, this is California law. They are not changing it. And what the courts are enforcing is unconstitutional because it's an excessive fine. And they're not taking into the constitutional requirements for imposing an excessive fine. That's one issue. So I can't do anything else in California in the courts because that's the law and that's what the Supreme Court has said the law is, even though it's unconstitutional. So I've been trying since at least January to go the route of petitioning the legislature. And obviously I just shared with you my results have been since that. So now I've also gone to the executive branch, meaning the police department, because it's their duty to enforce the law. And somebody's got to take action here because this is financially destroying people. And I don't know how many other cases there are. I know of several others offhand of people that they end up having to file bankruptcy over this. And I mean, look, The criminal penalty for the same violation is $5,000, a maximum of $5,000. How do you go into a civil case and get fined almost $1 million? I mean, look, it's one thing if you damage someone's house and they come into court and say, hey, look, you ruined our property. It cost us $500,000 to repair. Here's the repair bills. Here's the damaged pictures. That's not what we're talking about here. There's none of that evidence even presented. What goes on here is basically if you use the services of an unlicensed contractor, you go into court. It doesn't matter what kind of job they did. It doesn't matter the amount of the contract, nothing. $10 million, $5 million, $100 million. You walk right into court. You say, I use an unlicensed contractor, and the court refunds the money. Now, that is entirely, again, I told you, Sherrod, it was unconstitutional because it's a fine earlier, but on June 22nd of this year, the U.S. Supreme Court came down with a case that dealt with an issue very similar to this. That case is called Liu v. SEC, L-I-U v. SEC. L-I-U v. SEC. So what the courts here are doing in California is they're calling this action disgorgement. And this is going to complicate things even more, but I'll do the best to explain it, my best to explain it. Disgorgement basically means that someone who breaks the law and profits has to give up their profits. So like, let's say a bank robber robs a bank and he gets 20 grand. He was unjustly enriched 20 grand. He has to give the 20 grand back. Everyone gets that. That makes perfect sense. So when it comes to disgorgement in civil cases, the only thing that can be taken, like let's say in an unlicensed contractor case, is the profit that the contractor makes, not the whole contract. But what the courts are doing is they're not taking into account the profit that the contractor makes, they're refunding the whole contract. And that's totally illegal because it turns into a fine and then it's subject to the excessive fines clause. Now, the other issue that I have, I'm sorry to keep complicating things, is that because this law is purely penal, the legislature has no authority to give a private party a right of action to enforce a penal law. I mean, that would be like, that's why the district attorney is there.
Sorry, I'm not sure what you mean about the legislature's role or not.
Okay, so the legislature created the cause of action, which is Business and Professions Code 7031B, and it imposes, a penalty, a strict penalty, okay? That's what the penal code is for. So when you have a penal code case, like let's say someone commits robbery, that's a penal violation. So the person gets arrested by the police, and then the police give the case to the district attorney, and the district attorney has to file the case on behalf of the people to punish the person for breaking the law. Same thing here. They can't grant, under my understanding, they can't grant that power to a private party because that duty has been vested in the governor, in the executive branch, to ensure that the law is faithfully executed. It's Article 5, Section 1. So a private party can't go into the court and prosecute someone for robbery, just like they can't prosecute someone for violating a license. It's a regulatory law under California's police powers.
I'm gonna have to take a look into this because generally, the lawyers are the ones, you know, looking at the laws, and you know, I can talk to them instead of counsel, so I can dive into it a little bit more. But I mean, I'm not sure it's 100% that way.
I get it. I understand that. I mean, you have, I'm sure, many duties, and one of them is not studying the Business and Professions Code. and criminal law and all that stuff. So I have no doubt you need help and all that stuff and resources, but I'm reaching out to you because something needs to change. And I don't have anywhere else to go. I mean, I'm pursuing every avenue that I have. And I feel that the legislature has a duty to fix, to respond to my petition, number one, a duty to investigate what I'm saying. And if it's determined to be true, then to take corrective action and potentially even remedy the many of us that have been subject to this unlawfully.
And so, you know, when I take a look at the right to petition your government, I mean, that's to seek assistance, you know, without fear of punishment or reprisal. But, there's not an official process for that I'm aware of.
Well, I haven't been able to find one either, but when I do research on the right to petition for redress of grievance, it's also in the Constitution for the United States under Article 1. And when you research the history of this, people would petition their legislature. The legislature would do an investigation and then take remedial action. So I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. I would think that the fair and responsible thing to do, that if a constituent reported a violation, a major unconstitutional public policy being enforced that's financially destroying people unlawfully, and it's the public policy of the state, and the courts are not responding to challenges to it, that a legislator would have a duty to investigate and do something about it.
I know it also talks to the Attorney General's office, but I don't think they talk to our legislative council, which is our internal legal counsel. So I can do that. What did Adam Silver say to you?
I'm sorry?
Adam Silver is our ethics counsel, but separate from our legislative council. I'm curious what he said to you.
Adam doesn't say much, or at least from what I remember, because he's doing his job as legislative counsel. Do you mean, like, is he commenting on the constitutionality of the law or what I should do?
I'm just curious what he said. I don't know.
Okay, so, yeah, he has not talked about the constitutionality of the law. He got me in touch with you. He said, you should make every attempt to petition, you know, follow every avenue that you have available to you.
Okay. All right. Well, I will get your original request from Jeff, and I will have a legislative council. We have a whole department of lawyers that are legal counsel who can investigate.
Okay, can I do something really quick? Let me do this while I got you on the phone. I'm going to send you some key legal documents that they could look at and see very clearly what's going on very fast. Let's see here. That's one. Okay. I just want to put two in here. And then I will forward you the information, the email from Jess. So you have that too. I'm just looking for the other document. It's going to take me a minute. It's not in the place where I thought it was going to be. But I will forward them to you so that these two things, if they take a look at it right away and they're attorneys, they'll know exactly what's going on. And then I'll forward you the string of emails from Jess.
Okay.
So.
Well, I have to talk to the city council. You know, they usually, I don't know how long they'll need to investigate, but they'll tell me and then I can tell you.
Okay. Okay. That would be great.
Sorry you're dealing with all these issues.
Thank you for empathizing. I'm trying to, I'm on the verge of being forced into bankruptcy right now. So this has been going on since 2017. I've been trying to get help. If any help you could give would be very much appreciated. And I'm happy to speak to anyone in the legislative council department if they have questions. I have all the case law research done. I have all the legislative history records. I have everything, all the documents of all of it. And I'm trying to avoid filing a lawsuit and suing the state and doing government tort claims on people and all of that.
So I'll hang in there. I know times are tough right now for everybody, but this is especially difficult and stressful. So send me whatever you have, and I'm going to have a
Okay. The other thing I just want to tell you really quickly, Claire, is that there's another statute involved. It's 7071.17. And because of that, because of this judgment and the fact that I can't pay it and it's unlawful, they suspended my license. So I haven't been able to work for 3 years now as in construction.
Yeah, I can see how that further exacerbates all these issues.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm also going to talk to the chief consultant for the BNP committee just to understand these issues as well.
Okay. Do you want me to send you any like real quick downloads of the law, or you have all the things there? You have it already.
I do have access to all that, and I think our legal counsel is going to be the expert looking at that. But whatever you can send me, like if you can send it, you know, it's a lot of stuff, but in one email, that's ideal. But if it's in multiple, I can handle that too.
Okay. All right. It's going to be a couple emails. Be on the lookout for the one I will make it stand out. These have the most important documents in there that has all the case law and everything in it. Those are the ones that, before delving into the whole morass of documents, if you just read these two things, it's pretty clear. So, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your kindness and empathy and reaching out to me very much. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience and talking with me. It seems like you've been frustrated. So
yeah, well, it's not you. You didn't do it. You're here. You're offering to help. So I'm grateful. Thank you very much, and I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.